if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club.
They strike again.
What Betty's talking about, welcome to the AfterCast, by the way, is our poop terrorists, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
See, we have conversations before we start the AfterCast. Welcome to it, by the way. That, like, a lot of times end up being the first thing we talk about in the AfterCast, and that's the case for today. We were talking about the brown note.
Betty challenged me on this. No. This all started because I was talking about how my roommate, Nicole, she's out on Winter Jam right now, and Skillet is one of the acts there, and she was telling me that they have this machine that sends out this wave,
like,
or something.
Shock wave.
Yeah, and it happens twice during their set, and everybody on the Winter Jam team knows when it's happening, so everybody stops where they are, they cover their ears, and you can see the lights that are hanging from the ceiling shaking.
Yeah.
So then that got Wally on to the brown note.
It's called the brown note. Yes.
Which led us
that
here.
None of us needed to know existed, and now
and
we do.
And let me point out, too, he can't remember anyone's name upstairs on the digital team, but he can tell you everything you need to know about the brown note happens to you.
It's a hypothetical infrasonic frequency capable of causing incontinence in the human bowel. It resonates so low that it just makes you lose all ability to hold it.
So then I started saying, why hasn't anybody done this?
As a weapon.
Right. Yeah. Because you can imagine when we said the poop terrorists.
Right.
Like, they've struck again.
I know. No.
Just a really bad, impractical joke.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to own one of those things. Like, if they made a brown note gun that you could just walk by people and just boom, that'd be so
great.
Yeah,
but it would leave you doing the same thing because you're that close to it.
Maybe it's directional. Like, like a hyperbolic mic, you know, kind of thing. And so, yeah, it only goes one direction.
But you talk about getting people out. Like, if you want people out of a building.
Yeah, that would do it.
That would get them.
That's how you end a meeting early.
Yes.
Oh, that's what we should get it for.
When a meeting
is going too long.
Well, they've used, you know, sonic frequencies as weapons in the past, too. And so I could see them. I'm surprised there. You know what? I guarantee you there's been probably in the neighborhood of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, probably spent to research this note. Because it doesn't just pop up out of nowhere. Like, it was probably somebody that was like, I wonder if we could make a weapon to make people poop themselves, you know? And then somebody goes, Jenkins, you're a genius. Let's go with that. And before you know it, they've got a government grant for $100,000 to figure it out, you know?
If that's what my tax paying dollars are going to, I'll be disappointed.
No, I'm good with that.
Actually, yeah, I'd be all in.
What
if you were the guinea pig that you're like, okay, no, you're going to tell us, did you literally poop your pants or
not? Yeah.
I mean, if I'm getting paid then I should. Probably would be truthful.
I'd go for it.
I don't know why I'd be there. I'd be like, the question is like, do you want it to be a successful thing?
Right.
Because if it doesn't work, you're like, whew.
Or did you just say, I just had a rumbly in my tumbly.
Yeah, you're an innovator. You know, you've helped further science. Because really, if you think about it, Taco Bell gives me the brown note, and I'm paying for it. Okay, this got really immature really quick.
Sorry.
I love when Betty can't even breathe.
Oh, my God.
That's how I know it's good.
That was really good.
That's so
okay.
Funny.
All right. So let's get on to some of the stuff we didn't get to. You remember the other day, Rock, you were talking about COVID dogs at concerts?
Oh, yeah.
And how they're sniffing out COVID early. Get this, they are starting this in some schools, actually. These pair of 14-month-old labs, now they are trained...
14 months?
I know, they're little bitty puppies. Trained similarly to how they train narcotic dogs. They took a mask of somebody who had worn it and had been tested positive for the COVID. Then they used UV light to kill the virus. But then the mask was cut up into pieces and placed in plastic bags. And then the scent became imprinted on the dog. So that's how they memorized the scent. And then they could find it again.
But are they theorizing that COVID coughs smell different than non-COVID coughs, though?
No, the theory is if, like, and this is what's weird, because they were like, they have the dogs go into cafeterias, auditoriums, gymnasiums, and things like that to see if they could detect traces of COVID. And so that's the idea. Like, it's not like walking up and down like a narcotics dog sniffing students, they've said. But then there's part of me that goes, well, wait, if you can trace it, it must be traceable in the air, because theoretically it's not supposed to be damaging on surfaces anymore. Like, that was another thing. Although they still wipe everything down on airplanes and everything. But they were like, oh, yeah, that's not how you're going to get it. Unless you touch it and then touch your face.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they're actually starting this as a test pilot program in schools, because the logic is sound of it, because the logic of what was really smart about the concerts was, if you detected somebody before they actually were symptomatic, and then that person could deal with their COVID without shutting the entire thing down, mm-hmm. like, that would be a really great thing for schools, I think. And I'm curious how accurate the dogs are compared to tests, because both have inaccuracies, I'm sure. So it'd be interesting to see if they are more accurate than tests.
But I'm sure there's a lot of kids that are like, I would much rather have a dog in school than have to take these COVID tests.
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that?
I'd get old.
Speaking of COVID tests, starting Saturday, your health insurance is going to be required to cover up to 8 home tests per month per person. So if you have like 4 people in your family, that's 32 home tests a month that you could get. And Woo. Like, that would have been nice for me. My daughter was having, because of her job, she was in a show, and Equity rules, like the actors union, they had to test 3 times a week. So she was having to go every week to a facility and go through that whole wait in line garbage and test. And then I got a bill from the insurance on it for 500 and something bucks.
Ooh, no.
Because they had just coded my insurance wrong. So insurance did actually end up covering it, which is really nice. So that's what they're looking at too. Later this month, the government is going to launch the website again to let you get 500 million, not you personally, but 500 million at-home tests are going to be available by mail. So I guess you can log on and get them sent to you.
Okay.
I'm sure there's going to be a limit. I do think that testing is a big part of beating this thing ultimately, because right now, like, there's a weird like moral dilemma inside of this, because I mean, like, think about it, you're working 40 hours a week, you are living paycheck to paycheck, and you're paid hourly, then missing a day is devastating. And a mm-hmm. lot of companies, they give you one day off for like COVID. Like, there are a lot of companies that haven't adopted the paid time off thing. You can come back to your job, but you're not getting paid. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got to make that decision between, I'll wear a mask to work and try not to get people sick and provide for my family, or stay home and go further into debt, a lot of people are going to just go and work, mm-hmm. and then... the cycle keeps going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the hard part. That's the downside of early testing at home. The upside is if you know that you have it, then you can take proactive steps early to get better and to also keep, your family and your people around you safe, or know, okay, yeah, I really shouldn't be going to work.
Right.
Because right now you kind of guess, and it's 50-50, man. Like with Omicron especially,
yeah.
It's like, well, I got sniffles. Do I need to take a test? I don't know.
Yeah.
And
a hassle.
Yeah. And so I don't know where the right thing is. Cause like, there's so many symptoms of like, Omicron that are just like allergies,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get it as bad. Most people, And so there's a tendency, like, I don't know that I would test. Like, I've sniffled and coughed and things like that, but I have no other symptoms of anything. I've never run a fever. So I'm like, I guess I'm all right, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's guessing.
I know. That's it. And I guess that's how we get to herd immunity eventually, though, too, mm-hmm. is that enough people just living life, you know, eventually, and we try to mitigate the life and death parts of it, but people getting it and us overcoming it is probably where we're the only way we're probably going to ever actually get out of this cycle.
It's also weird to think about like 2019 before life had COVID.
I know it's so long ago, right?
To think about like that being, and we took it for granted. We didn't think.
You know, the dystopian movies that we watched for so many years about, you know, these outbreaks and people being locked down. Like, look at China. China just got locked down again for two cases. They locked down a city of I don't know how many million people because they had two cases of Omicron. They got the Olympics coming to Beijing and they're like, whoosh. And like my friend lives in China and she with her girls, if their girls have any kind of symptoms at school, they test them. If they're positive, they take them away from the family and they put them in this isolation thing for 2 weeks without your family.
What?
And these are young girls, they're 8-year-old
that
girls.
Right.
No, I know, but that's the difference of living in a free society versus a repressed society, you know, and that's one of the things that I think so many people push back against and go, we don't want that. We'd rather deal with sickness. I'd rather have my child and deal with her myself. It's my prerogative to help heal my child, not yours, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the slippery slope. Some of the extreme parts of the COVID planning, I think, would have rocked Americans to the core. And you would have had a lot more people on both sides of it going, no, absolutely not, you know? Because when you extrapolate something out to its most extreme level and some of what people wanted to do early on, you're like, no, we don't function like that. We will never function like that. And I'm glad cooler heads prevailed and it got to what it is, you know, at least currently. So, but anyway, so there you go. There's your COVID update. That's fun.
Ooh.
All right, what do you got, Rock?
A list was put together of the most boring films that we've been given in the past 20 years.
Oh, okay. Well, this is good. I wonder if any of you are really current, because I saw one the other day that I could not believe was a movie. And it just kept going and going and going.
What was it?
Gavin, you saw it too.
The Kingsman?
No.
Oh,
it was that one I was telling you I saw on a flight. It had like a good actor in it. What was it? I don't even remember the name because it was so bad. And then it just ended with the girl walking down the street. You're like, what in the world? Like it ended like so artsy.
You don't remember the name?
No, it was that bad.
And I saw it?
Yeah. Into the Furnace is another horrible, slow, drawn-out
movie. Well, let me tell
you
a couple of them that didn't make the list. So, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
What?
Oh, I love the first one. I thought that one was so silly, but yeah. Never saw the second one.
I can't believe that made this list, though. I mean, it's a cartoon for kids.
I don't know. X-Men Apocalypse.
That was a bad X-Men movie. Like, there's so many X-Men movies. That one was bad, though.
What's the best X-Men movie?
Is there one?
There was... It wasn't even like totally an X-Men movie, but the X-Men movie where it's like old Wolverine, where he's, I think it's just called Logan or something.
Logan, yeah.
I think that was it, but it was dark.
Like, I saw that one.
If you're ever going to like think about watching that one, like that one's brutal.
That's the only X-Men movie I've ever seen, actually, it was Logan.
White House Down.
Oh, no way. That was boring. What was that workout guy that was in that? Was that Tatum Channing or the other guy? I forget.
Oh, I think it was Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. Is it Tatum Channing? I don't know.
Channing Tatum.
It's Channing Tatum? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, I don't know if I'd classify it as boring as much as bad.
The Wolfman made the list. I liked that movie.
The original?
No, it's like from 2000 something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never saw that.
Oh, it was really good. I liked it. Clash of the Titans?
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
Never saw it.
The one with Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
That's just weird.
That's a weird self-indulgent piece.
Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace.
Of all the Star Wars movies, yeah, that one's a little boring.
Green Lantern.
Oh, I never saw that.
Uh-uh.
That's Ryan Reynolds.
Justice League.
I heard it was boring. That one was bad.
Battle Los Angeles.
Oh, jeez. That just sounds bad. Did you like that?
Yeah, it's I can't remember the actor's name, but it's just a good little, you know, war movie versus aliens.
Oh, I don't like aliens. Like anytime a movie, like they do all this really good job in the first three quarters of the movie of like what's going on and how do we beat this whatever it is that's happening, and then all of a sudden poof, there's aliens. Yeah. I'm like, ugh, I'm out.
Total Recall.
Oh, the second one's horrible. The first one. Oh, the first one? Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah, the first one was way
classic.
Better. Yeah. And then, I'm thinking of Blade Runner. The second Blade Runner was atrocious.
I started that and couldn't finish it. Like, I was excited about it, and then it's just like this, I'm like, cool sci-fi movie, but he's just kind of walking around and
atrocious.
Slow, traumatic music.
That was with Harrison Ford.
Yep, and then Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I do like Ryan Gosling.
Suicide Squad was number three.
It was a bad movie. Yeah. In my opinion, the first one.
I don't remember it enough.
Annabelle was number two.
Oh, no, absolutely no. I'd never see that.
Talk about that.
They said it was boring.
Would never see that.
If it's probably boring, then it's not scary. No, we should watch it.
It's a doll.
No. It's too creepy, man. That stuff's creepy. Marionettes are creepy, and then people with marionettes are creepy.
Yeah. And then number one was The Last Airbender.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's that takeoff from the Nickelodeon show.
Yeah. The show was such a... And is like a classic for Nickelodeon, but the movie was done in a style that was so not true to the show.
Is that the one with Appa?
Yeah.
Appa! Yeah. My daughter. God bless
her.
I
love that show.
She did too. And so when she, as an adult, we were somewhere and she's like, oh my gosh, it's Appa! Appa!
That's really funny.
And like she was like showing me this stuffed animal, and sure enough, I bought it. It made her happy. Here's what it did. It made her happy. It made her happy, and it made my wife be like, ugh. Like. So then it was a win-win because I thought it was funny.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, let's do some birthdays.
All right. Today is Deborah Sue's birthday.
I love Deborah Sue.
She's 52 years old.
Oh, young.
And her question was, how much older is Wally than me?
I am 1 year older than you. I'm 53. I keep forgetting how old I am.
You turned 54 this year.
I know. My wife turns it first.
And she won't forget it. Won't let her.
That's the only way I know how old I am anymore is like by my wife's age. I'm 53, but I mean, I'm looking at electric skateboards, e-foils. I still want to do things. I know there's going to be a point at which I hurt myself too badly
doing
things.
And you can't come back from it. You've already hurt your hip pretty bad, and you need to do something about that, but you haven't.
I do, and I am more cognizant of it. There are certain things that I've gone to attempt and went, you know what, this, as much as I hate to admit it, it's beyond my years. Like, I'm only going to get hurt if I do this, and it's not worth the recovery time, you know, or the pain. So there's things. So
emotionally, physically, mentally.
So I am being more mindful of it, and I am making different decisions, you know, based on things. Like snowboarding, when we were in Utah snowboarding recently, I was having fun just kind of carving up and down the thing, and they had a little snow park, and they had a couple rails, and I'm like, I think I could do it. They had one that was wide. It was like an old man rail.
The one where you're kind of just scooting over it.
Yeah, you just grind out. Like, I think I could have done it. But then I didn't want to ruin the fun. Like, if I got hurt on this thing, and then all of a sudden...
Imagine that. You're being smart.
I know. My buddy's there, and then all of a sudden we've got to stop snowboarding because I got hurt.
Well, no, you just do it at the end of the day. Have it be like the last thing you try. So if you do get hurt, it's just
I didn't think of that, but by the end of the day... I was so dead. My legs were hurting so bad, man, because it's just a total different workout type thing.
Yeah.
And I remember telling Greg, I said, I have one more in me because my legs are so sore that I'm not boarding well, and I told him, I said, I am going to get hurt because I wasn't transitioning between front and backside. And when you don't do that, like that's where you grab a rail and you just instantly face plant and it just snaps you. And so like, I came close to doing that a couple of times and I'm like, at least now I'm like, okay, I got to stop. You know, before I would have kept going, till I got hurt, but now
maybe there is some truth to, you know, the older you get, the more wisdom you have.
Oh, yeah, there is. There's a little
yours
bit.
Yours just is really late.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Most people got this in their 40s. I'm a slow learner. So, all right. Well, with that, that's going to do it. Well, wait, did you guys answer that? I'm sorry. No, that was just for you.
It was just for you.
I thought it was activities. All right. Well, that's going to do it for your Aftercast, and thank you for being a potty.